Daniel Siddiqui has made a career out of visiting every major city in the United States again and again, landing him the title of the most traveled person in America. He figures he's been to each of the 50 states at least 20 times so far, and he's not slowing down. Daniel recently traveled to 50 major American cities and found time to work in each city. What started out as a post-college experiment to find a job has turned into a passion for uncovering the history and the culture that define what makes each place unique. He documents the most original aspects of each city in his book, Piecing Together America, serving the best features and craftsmanship of every major city. Daniel joins us now to explore the threads that connect us as a nation. Daniel, thanks for being here.
Thank you very much, Rick, for having me.
So you've been to all 50 states at least 20 times each.
Yeah. Like you said, I could probably keep on going because there's so much to discover.
Now, I got to say, simple numbers don't really mean how much you've experienced in those places. So you could be in a city 100 times and not really have had a great travel experience. What do you do to make sure that, the visit is real?
Yeah, these are all authentic as they possibly can be because I focus on a particular assignment. For instance, this recent book, Piecing Together America, was about craftsmanship. And I wanted to learn hands-on from the locals and those who really carry on a legacy, whether it's making a surfboard in San Diego, to graffiti art in New York City, to making a crab mallet in Baltimore, Maryland. So I really focus on the iconic industries and pastimes.
You know, my dad was a piano technician, and he was old school, and he had all this, the crocus cloth and the mix of spit and glue and all sorts of stuff to make it just right on the piano, you know. And I get the sense that that old-fashioned craftsmanship, that love of quality is sort of getting priced out by mass production and cheap imports and so on. You've made a study of craftsmanship around the United States. Do you feel like it's an endangered thing, or is it young and vital and healthy?
Oh, no, it's kind of almost a lost art as a whole. But of course, there's individuals still practicing it and trying to carry the legacies.
Does a craftsperson have to decide to make a financial sacrifice in order to be ideological about his craft?
I would say, when I think about it, I would say a lot of them are still considered starving artists, but some of them make it a very lucrative career, like the gentleman who has been doing it for 30 years making surfboards in San Diego. He's in high demand, and surfboards are not cheap. So yeah, he does pretty well.
So I suppose that goes to the consumer, really. That's where the buck stops.
Yeah.
Are people willing to pay for that?
Absolutely.
I just went to a woman who's an artisan in our town of making frames for paintings.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you pay as much for the frame sometimes as the painting.
Yeah.
But she is an artisan, and I just had such a great experience being with her as she figured out what's the best frame for this piece of art. And then, you know, it's expensive, but it's a craft and it's a beautiful thing.
I mean, since we were here in Washington, I was in Spokane recently and stayed at the Davenport Hotel.
Oh, yeah.
And you look at their lobby, it is the most ornate craftsmanship. You can't replace it.
You know, there's two dimensions of that. You can pay to make it, but you can also take time to enjoy it.
Uh-huh.
That's just as important.
And,
and you did exactly that because I've been in that hotel lobby there. Everybody in Spokane is so proud of the Davenport Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And you look around and your jaw literally drops.
Yeah. The photos did not do justice for that. It was just so that remarkable.
Right.
Made you real prideful of being an American. And that's kind of why I did this book.
You wrote that America is the home of innovators, pioneers, and game changers.
Mm-hmm.
So this is among the craftsmen and the craftswomen that you met.
Mm-hmm.
What are a couple examples of your favorites?
Well, they're all in my home now, and they're all my offices decorated with all these. That's basically what was the vision. I said, my office looks really empty. I'm very obsessed with America, if you can't tell. And I wanted a piece of every city. And so
you've got a piece of every city.
Every city is in there.
As done by handmade craftspeople.
All handmade craftsmanship.
Oh, my goodness.
Even signs from Indianapolis because, you know, it's a crossroads America. So I made a road sign.
Paint a picture. Take me into your office. What would strike me? What would I see if I walked into your office?
Well,
right
you
now?
See a graffiti art saying Brooklyn. And I learned all this by just doing and being with the experts. But I went into it not knowing a thing. Like latte art here in Seattle, it was one of the hardest things to do. I couldn't just wing it.
but if that latte is in your office, it's flat now and there's nothing.
Yeah,
nothing.
It's just a cup. I have the cup in there. But yeah, I have a vinyl record from Cleveland because that was considered the rock and roll birth capital.
Yeah.
I have like a music note made out of metal from Memphis. The one that really hits home for me is the, I made a Indian pottery in New Mexico. And I was a native who taught me her something that she's learned from her grandmother.
You wrote that. It was a Native American woman who was tearful about connecting. She was literally tearful to share her art with you.
Absolutely.
That her work could make that leap from one culture to another.
Yeah, that's kind of why I do what I do, because you see people smile on their faces.
Daniel Siddiqui is the son of an Afghan immigrant who learned a wide variety of skills in all 50 states, from coal mining in West Virginia to shooting archery with the Cherokee Nation and singing with the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. He writes about his American adventures in his books, Piecing Together America and 50 Jobs in 50 States. So when you talk about craftsmanship and you talk about artists, are artists, is that a different category, or is it the artists that are doing the crafts?
Yeah, artists doing the crafts.
Okay, so you met with 70 artists and you reported on them in your book. What if? What's the takeaway there, Daniel? What did the artists have in common? What motivated them?
They're motivated by their work. They do it because it's their passion of creating, and they realize that they could be a symbol of their community, and that's what carries on cultures and traditions.
Were they aware of that they're carrying on a tradition?
Yeah, I mean, some of them, some maybe not, but
I think craftspeople are keenly aware that the kids don't want to do it anymore. The arts and crafts movement in England, it's just down to a couple of people.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say the same as pretty much here as well. Like that vinyl record company in Cleveland, that was the only one left. Or the cigars in Tampa. I rolled cigars in the last factory left, and that's what founded Tampa. You probably know this, but...
You rolled a cigar in Tampa?
Yeah, wow. With real Cubans. I mean, they're...
I rolled a cigar in Cuba, and I could not get over how beautiful it was. It was so gorgeous to see those calloused hands and that beautiful the leaves that had veins on them just like the back of my hand.
Exactly.
And then to roll that and then to lick it and to stick it and then to put it with 20 others and put a little organic tie around them. Oh my goodness.
I did that and I didn't know that's kind of what founded Tampa. It was just a very small fishing community originally.
I had no idea. And they're down to one last cigar roller.
So
one last cigar roller.
It was one last cigar. There was three over there at the time. But it was funny to see them smoking like maybe 3 foot long cigars while they're rolling. You know, I'm sure you've seen.
Well, that's why there's only three of them left.
Yeah.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking with author Daniel Siddiqui, and Daniel is touted as the most traveled person in America, and I'm beginning to believe that. His latest book is called Piecing Together America. You can find more about his work and the tours he offers at his website. It's called livingthemap.com, livingthemap.com. So, Daniel, we're talking about these artists and these crafts. Tell me a case that you met an artist that just inspired you, that you could imagine actually, if you were going to live your life again, doing that craft.
I'm not a crafty person. I wouldn't say it's something that I would.
Okay.
I wish I could probably become one, but I think my craft is writing. I like writing a lot. Yeah. I like doing research just like you do. Yeah. As a little kid, when I was just 6 years old, I used to just stare at maps. And now, as an adult, that map is a reality. And I'm connecting with people. I'm probably the most alert and awake when I travel, just because I want to observe as much as I can, absorb as much as I can. And connecting with all walks of life is what makes it so enlightening. And I learn something new from every single person. And you learn a lot about yourself when you hear from others, too.
Amen.
Yeah.
You've got it. I can see why you're so inspired to write this and share this.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of it is an ability to meet people and talk with them and celebrate what they do.
Yeah.
I love this quote that somebody said, it's better to be, instead of trying to be interesting, be interested.
Yeah.
And that's sort of your forte is being interested.
True. Yeah. And that started from the very, very get-go.
So you've also done jobs in 50 states. Did you actually make money on these jobs?
Yeah. So 45 out of the 50 jobs paid me. And I started in the midst of the recession with not a dime to my name.
Right.
I was just planning to just sleep in this Jeep that I just bought off of Craigslist, and was never asking for a paycheck, but every employer saw how committed I was to working and being the best I could.
Yeah.
And they said, yeah, we can't leave you without a check. You put in honest work here. Whether it's making medical equipment in Minnesota or making cheese in Wisconsin or working at a winery in Napa Valley.
So this is another way to travel, to really learn and gain empathy for a different slice of society, is to roll up your sleeves and work there.
Personally, I think it's the best way to connect with people and really understand their livelihoods.
You wrote about being a cowboy, a coal miner.
Yeah.
You picked green peppers with migrant laborers.
Mm-hmm.
that is so...
Yeah.
Industrious of you. So you can come into, how do you do that? You come into Oklahoma and how do you look for a job? What do you do?
Well, my theme was always to focus on a iconic industry.
Right.
You know, what really shapes the economy of the state.
Uh-huh.
So Oklahoma oil. So I got a chance to be a roustabout. I didn't know what a roustabout was, but I Google searched it. And I said, let's apply to be a roustabout. And I called up some of these local companies. And they said, yeah, we need an extra set of hands, sure. And it was dangerous working on an oil rig. It was dangerous, very obviously dirty job. But it was just like putting myself in their shoes. It gave me the appreciation of their work.
Plus, it's a different world. And in some cases, it could be some real artsy, fartsy people in a big city, sophisticates. And another place, it could be people with calluses on their hands.
Yeah,
it could
absolutely.
It could be people that are hard to employ elsewhere.
Yeah.
And you get to work side by side with them.
Yeah, like I said, all walks of life.
50 states, 50 jobs. Tell me about a couple of the ones that were most impactful.
So I did the Border Patrol in Arizona, the busiest sector in the country.
Wow.
So I got to see all the ins and outs of that and the sacrifices people make to come across the border. I've seen...
Now wait a minute. So you're there trying to keep them out and you gained respect for how dedicated they are to getting in.
Well, I appreciate the Border Patrol because 10% of those that come out are not very good people.
Right.
Of course, the 90 that really actually come out for a better life and make an earning for their family, I get it.
Yeah.
The other ones were like, I had fun jobs, like working as a weatherman on NBC morning show. They put me at the 4 a.m. slot because they knew nobody watches that time. But at least I had the opportunity to do it.
So you stood in front of one of those green screens and you pointed at the green screen as if there's a map there and you go, clouds are moving in.
And Ohio's unpredictable. That's why I chose to do that state because I was in Cleveland, so the lake effects. So every day was a different day there.
Yeah.
But I got to see the personalities. You know, you got to figure out where your personality fits in terms of a profession.
Right. And I don't know if you probably didn't negotiate for a better wage. You probably just did
whatever
they
paid. No, I was taking whatever I could,
But you probably, a great part of your earnings was what you learned. I mean, if you think about it.
I wouldn't trade that for anything in the world.
You were paid in life experience.
Yep. Like I said, Living the Map is my website, and that was my dream, is to really live out this map that I used to stare at as such a young kid. Not just the country, the whole world, but of course, my capacity is just America. I can't do it all.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking with author Daniel Siddiqui, and his website is livingthemap.com, and that's his middle name. His book is called Piecing Together America, and I'm just so intrigued by this. I mean, I always think I'm really a very lucky, privileged, blessed person to find my niche and do what I love. But the downside is I've only done one thing basically since I was a kid. I love it. But what a cool thing to be able to circulate all through society and in 50 states in this country get to know what's going on.
Well, I've seen the good and the bad. Bad actually is more intriguing to me. Just because it's that much more different, and I'm somebody who cares about people deeply.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, I was on the 50 jobs trip working with a dietitian in Mississippi, which is classified as the most obese state in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And that experience inspired me to go back 2 years later and train the most obese town for a 5K road race. So I went to a very small community, Pickens, Mississippi, town of 1,500 people.
Right.
And I held a town hall meeting. And I said, I'm going to train your community for a 5K turkey trot.
And what did they say?
And only 7 people participated the first day, and it grew to 150 a month later. And now, 8 years later, they have it every year.
And there's probably people alive today because of that change in lifestyle.
Four people passed away that month I was there alone. And 98% of that town was diabetic.
Holy cow.
And yeah, and that's kind of makes your heart feel like, I got to do something that the best. And I did this as a volunteer,
yeah.
You know, but
yeah.
I was passionate. I'm a collegiate athlete,
yeah.
Long distance runner. And I thought I'd apply what I've known and have taken for granted my whole life.
Daniel, what is your takeaway from all of this, from all of your travels? We're out of time now, but I would just love to finish with essentially, how is it? I love the thought of transformational travel.
Yeah.
I think this has been transformational for you. How?
Yeah, so I felt very stuck graduating from college. I went through 120 rounds of job interviews and got zero offers. Then I decided to write 18,000 coaches, collegiate coaches, asking for a job opportunity, and I only got a volunteer position. And that changed my life because I moved from California to Chicago, work at Northwestern, and it made me realize how big this world is,
right?
This country specifically. And I haven't felt stuck ever since.
Hmm.
So it's just knowing that I should never limit myself. And a lot of people do feel that mm-hmm. they are putting themselves in a bubble.
Because it's pretty bold. You could go to Montana, you could go to Tennessee, you could go to New Hampshire,
yep.
and you could meet people, you could learn, you could broaden, you could contribute, you could get a job.
You can have any type of life you want in America. I mean, it's so diverse in terms of the landscapes, mm-hmm. the job opportunities, the people that you would be. I mean, I built furniture with Amish people in Pennsylvania, did coal mining in West Virginia, worked as a football coach in Alabama. I've seen it all, and you can really do anything you want in this country, and that's why it is the land of opportunity.
Well, thanks for traveling all the way up here to just north of Seattle, and it's been a delight talking to you. Best wishes,
pleasure.
Daniel.
Thank you so much.
Daniel Siddiqui shares his photos and writes about learning the crafts and sampling the local foods of every major U.S. city in his book, Piecing Together America. His website is livingthemap.com. Your own travels might inspire you to write a haiku or two about what you experience. Here's some haiku that our Travel with Rick Steves listeners have sent us that we thought you'd like to hear.
Terry Tolan from Vancouver, Washington, sent us a few haiku after visiting an old friend in Sweden for the first time in 36 years. It was also the first time their wives got to meet each other. Tired train, greeting time. Anxious wives hug new, old friends. Home to sandwich cake. First stop, the sweet shop. On to 300-year home, as if yesterday. Friends looking seasoned, brothers for 36 years, talk flows like water. Barbara Schrafer of Clearwater, Florida, got inspired to write an evocative haiku while enjoying the coastal scene on Inoshima Island in Japan's Sagami Bay. Crows call in the wind. Brown earth smudges the gray cloud sea. Fine mist sprays to sky. And Natalia Warren of Orlando, Florida, describes what it was like to visit Ukraine back in 2006. It's where her World War II refugee parents came from. She says she'll never forget looking out over the wheat fields of Ukraine to see the inspiration for the colors of their national flag. Blue sky, golden fields, flag unfurling at sunrise. Free, invincible.
Travel with Rick Steves is produced at Rick Steves Europe in Edmonds, Washington by Tim Tatton, Kazmira Hall, and Donna Bardsley. Our theme music is by Jerry Frank. Gretchen Strauch read our listener travel haiku. Send us your own original haiku about your travel impressions. Details are at ricksteves.com/radio. We'll look for you again next week with more Travel with Rick Steves.